Years ago, I was helping a friend paint an extra bedroom in her house. They were turning it into an office, and we were painting the room, and if you've ever seen me help with anything around the church, you know that I'm really good at painting the middle of the wall. But I have to leave the edges for someone else because I'm just not very good at it. Well, that day, both of us had that handicap. We were fine in the middle, but we struggled when we had to paint a straight line. Then someone who knew a lot more about painting came in, and he identified the solution to our problem. We needed to put a lot more paint on the brush. We had been dipping the brush in just a little bit of paint and trying to dab it on, being very careful that we didn't get anything on the ceiling. But with that method and that small amount of paint, we couldn't paint a straight line. But when we lavished paint on the brush, the straight lines came much more easily. I have come to believe that the love of God and love for God and for neighbor works much the same way. If we try to minimize the way we love other people, asking for the rules that apply, we cannot draw a straight line between us and God, between us and our neighbor. The love God offers us and asks us to give our neighbor is a lavish love, radical, without rules and without condition. Very often we try to follow the rules in just a minimal way and get by. We continually ask God in some form, how much do I have to love my neighbor in order to qualify for eternal life? Can I cut down on the number of people that qualify as my neighbors? Surely you don't want me to lavish love on that person. Surely you wouldn't call a misguided person who never looks for God one of my neighbors. God's response to us is to lavish love on others, not trying to minimize our commitment and our investment in them. Elsewhere in the Gospels, when the disciples ask about forgiveness, they say, must we be willing to forgive 7 times? And Jesus says, not 7, but 70 times 7. Lavish forgiveness on people. We will want to draw our narrow boundaries, give narrow definitions of neighbor, but God will say, put more paint on that brush. Stop worrying about how to minimize your commitment to another human being. Love your neighbor as I have loved you without making that person earn it. I struggle with this. I ask myself, can I fulfill God's admonition to love my neighbor if I keep insisting on using just a little dab of paint? Can I continue to draw a narrow circle of neighbors, including only people who are like me, people who agree with me, people who value what I value? In the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite wanted specific, narrow rules to obey. They had an opportunity to draw a straight line between themselves and their God by caring for a neighbor, but they had no desire at that moment to lavish paint on the brush. As we can be sometimes, they were misers about loving someone else, saying, what is the least amount of love I can offer to another and get by? Too often in our culture, living a Christian life is equated with following rules so that we can go to heaven at the end of our physical lives. But eternity is not something postponed for the end of life, but something we can experience now. The kingdom of God is not only something that will come later, but something that can come now if we choose to lavish compassion on another person. When Jesus was asked how a person could inherit eternal life, he told a story about the present, not about following rules to accumulate a favorable balance at the end of our lives. The lesson is for us to stop making conditions and exceptions. Stop drawing lines of exclusion and love the next person who needs your help, as the Samaritan traveler did. To Jesus, neighbors are any two people who meet along the road. When we do meet, we are to put enough paint on the brush to paint not lines of exclusion, but circles of inclusion. When we do that, eternal life begins right now. And be sure, Jesus doesn't tell us that we have to like our neighbor. Thanks be to God. But to love our neighbor. To love our neighbor means that we are to desire their well-being, to do good to them, to pray for their salvation. It's not the same kind of love as the emotional kind you feel for your family. Loving as God asks us to is not a chemistry with someone else, as human love can be, not a heightened version of liking. Loving as God asks us to love is an act of will. It is a decision. So we have this decision before us. Are we willing to keep dabbing on paint? To love persons only who are sufficiently like us? Or are we willing to love as God loves us? To me, that's the decision that will take the violence out of our world. When one person after another feels loved, even by those unlike him or her. Jesus says if you want to change the world, you have to change your schedule, or your travel plans, or your prejudices, to love the next person you encounter on the road. Not to dab on the paint, parsing the rules, so that you only have to love those you like. God asks us to love lavishly, to draw the straightest, most direct line between you and God is to love the next person you encounter and not worry about how much paint you have to put on that brush. God is waiting now. The neighbor is the next person you encounter. Yes, even that person with that opinion. So are we only willing to dab on the paint to love those who are enough like us? Or are we willing to love as God loves us? I'll say again, that is the decision that will take the violence out of our world. When persons feel loved, they will not be inclined to strike out and to show their importance to the rest of the world. God's asking us to load up that brush with paint. To love lavishly without condition or rules. To love relentlessly. Because when we do, we will now be with God in God's kingdom. The one thing we need.